Romans chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you tonight and we praise you for a good day. You've blessed us in your house. God, we thank you for your word that we can lift it up tonight. And I pray that by your spirit, you'd speak through it. God, we're thankful tonight as we read these verses for the example that we have in Abraham. And God, I pray as we look a little bit into him tonight that you would give us something that would encourage us in our walk with you today. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to cut the air down. Y'all all right with that? I'm a little warm in here. Sometimes in this February, it's cool and then it's warm. So that happens. If we look here in these first few verses, in 13 through 15, it talks about what we mentioned last week, that the law brings about wrath. If there is no law, there's nothing wrong. The law is what declares things right and wrong. You know, I was watching a show the other day, and it was kind of set back in maybe pre-Civil War time, and this man owned some slaves. And this other man, you know, he said, "What right do you have to own these slaves?" He said, "Well, the law says I can own them." He said, "Well, the law might change. And there might be a law that says that they can own you. How would you like that?" You know, and the reality is that laws can change and things become right and wrong according to the law. But God's law never changes. It's always right and wrong in the eyes of God. And God's law, what it does to all of us, look at what it says in verse down there in verse 13. It starts, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they were which are the law heirs, faith is made void, and the promise of none effect, because the law worketh wrath." That's what the law does to all of us. It works wrath, and it brings about death. We all become guilty. When we read the Scriptures, I never read the Scriptures and come away and think, "I'm pretty good." You know what? I'm doing great. And man, I just line up with it. I always come away from the Word going, "Man, I'm found lacking. There's so many areas that I could do better in. There's so many areas that I fall short. And there's such a need for Christ in my life because of my own sinfulness." That's what the Word and the law does for us. It lets us know that we're sinners. But then it says this in verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace." It is of faith that it might be by grace. We put our trust in Christ, and our righteousness is by grace. None of us tonight deserve the righteousness of God. None of us deserve heaven. None of us have earned it. None of us have earned anything good. In fact, it is all by the good grace of God. And I think if we would be good, and it would be good for us, we're going to look a little bit into the faith of Abraham tonight. It'd be good for us to all establish this in our lives. And it amazes me how we believe one thing and then we don't believe another. If everybody in here believes that we deserve, because of our sinfulness, to go to hell, but because of the grace of God, we don't. And by the way, I would say probably everybody here believes that. We all deserve hell, but because of the grace of God, we don't have it. If that's what we deserve, I don't know why we're ever upset if something just doesn't go our way, right? Like if something didn't work out for us, and I see people say this kind of stuff all the time. What have I done wrong? I want to be like, what have you not done wrong? Right? What do you mean, what have you done wrong? We're exceedingly sinful. And so if you have a flat tire, hey, you deserved hell. I'd take the flat tire. You know, hey, you deserved hell. I'll take the fridge went out. I mean, we can't believe in one hand that we deserve hell, but that we don't deserve or some, slight inconvenience to happen in our lives. That's just the reality of the situation. But it is by faith and it is by grace, to which the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not only to which is of the law, but to those which are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And that's what I want to look at tonight for us, is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He is the father of all believers. Our faith is founded in Abraham, the patriarch of our faith, all the way back there in the Old Testament. And as we've seen, his righteousness was imputed to him by faith. And it's always been that way. But he was a great man of faith, as we need to be. It says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Then in verse 18, it repeats that, a father of many nations. We're about to have our Mission Sunday and Mission Conference. And what happens is we have missionaries come in that are going all over the world. We've been doing it for years now. Every year we have two or three or four, however many missionaries we have. They come in and they're trying to raise money to get support to go around the world. And what they do is they go into foreign lands and they start churches and they see people saved and baptized and trained and they witness to the community. And that is called the Great Commission. And when I think about that, I think about Abraham. He's a father of many nations. There are people like me and you who are believers all around the world. You know, I think about all the missionaries that we've got that we're supporting now that had church today, that met and preached the Word of God and had prayer and sang hymns and gave offerings and did it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And Abraham is the father of many nations, not physically, not just physically, but spiritually is how we should look at it. Abraham, the father of many nations. And we are trying to do our part, our small part, of the Great Commission and global evangelism and taking the gospel to the ends of the world. I'm always amazed by missionaries. I've been blessed, and I say that, but I'm thankful that God let me pastor here. And I'm thankful that my kids have been able to be raised here. But man, can you imagine taking your family and saying, we're going to go to Mongolia and stuff. We have missionaries in Mongolia, by the way, and we're going to start churches there. It'd be a different world. But they'd be people that do it, people that feel the call. And by faith, they go into another land. I just want you to know it's hard pastoring a church and being a preacher here. I can't imagine what it's like there. I can't imagine how much more difficult it is, and trying to get it's one thing to get somebody who knows you and understands you and can relate to you to understand the gospel. Imagine going somewhere where you're a foreigner and they probably don't trust you anyway, and trying to bring a gospel to them. What a difficult thing it is. But again, those people are carrying about the faith of Abraham. You know what God told Abraham? Leave your father's land and go to a land that I'll show you. And he, by faith, went out and went into a place where God would show him. And that's what they carry on today and continue to do it. Verse 17 says this, and this is what I want you to understand tonight. He said in verse 17 at the end, he said, calleth those things which be not as though they were. Faith is acting like something is when it's not. It's acting like something is when it's not. That we're believing God to do things that He has not done yet. Just imagine if you got a loved one who's lost. Faith is believing that God will save them. They're not saved. They might not have any inclination of being saved or any it doesn't look like they might ever be saved, but we're going to trust that they will, and we're going to act like God is going to do what He said He would do. You know, sometimes the Bible says we have not because we ask not, and then He said this in another place, that sometimes we ask amiss. We ask not really believing. We pray as if we're rolling a dice and we're hoping that maybe God will do something instead of really believing that He will. And so we have to believe and act and live like God is going to do what He said He would do in our lives, and we're going to trust Him in that, and that is what faith is. He said in verse 18, against hope, he believed in hope. In other words, it didn't look good, but he believed in hope. You know, when God sent Abraham on his journey, can I tell you a little secret? A lot of things didn't go as Abraham thought they were going to go. God told him, I'm gonna make you a great nation. Your seed, your children and grandchildren, great grandchildren are gonna be like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. And guess what happened? It took a long time for him to have a kid. In fact, it was so long that Sarah, his wife, said, hey, there's a handmaid named Hagar. Why don't you go into her, and maybe that's how God's going to do it. And so he did, and he had a son named Ishmael, and God said, that ain't it. Boy, that created a lot of problems, and just had to wait and wait and wait. And finally, he had the promised son of Isaac. But throughout all that, a lot of times it just didn't look good. It didn't look like God was going to do what he said he was going to do. He had to wait on these things, and against hope, he believed in hope, and that's what faith is. And he said down in verse 19, not being weak in faith. So here's a few things tonight about faith that we need to have. And take that home with you tonight, that faith is acting like something is when it's not. It's believing it. And it's like living it. Living like it is. Just living it. I believe it, and I'm living it. As if it's already happened. As if it's going to happen. But faith, first off, is powerful. Man, faith is a powerful thing, believing. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, think of the weight of that statement. It's impossible to please God without faith. But faith is a powerful thing, the power of faith, the power of believing in what God is going to do. And to have that faith, it is a powerful thing. Faith, the Scripture tells us, can move mountains. Faith can do impossible things, but we have to believe and we have to have that faith. The other thing faith needs to be is it needs to be persevering. One thing we need to learn from Abraham, our father, is that we have to have faith during difficult times and times of waiting and times of it seems no harvest or whatever it is. Now, let me tell you why that's so hard today. We live in an instant gratification world. And hey, I'm just going to tell you, my age people, and younger, hey, we want it right now. Ain't no waiting anymore. There's no waiting. Give it to me now. We live in the microwave generation, you know, hit the microwave. We don't have time for anything else. We don't have time to wait. We're not going to pay our dues. We're not going to climb a ladder. We're not going to wait our turn. We're going to find our own way, and we're going to do it right now. We're also prisoners of the moment. Can I tell you a little secret about life? What's happening today don't mean what's going to happen tomorrow. And what's happening tomorrow don't mean what's going to happen the next day. We don't know. But we get so caught up in the moment. In the here and now, this is a bad moment. It's a bad day. It's a bad time. And people want to abandon ship so quick. We can't stay through any difficulties. It's hurt us more than, you know what's hurt the church? Prosperity has hurt the church. And we live in the most prosperous times the world has ever seen. Everybody in here today is living better than kings were living 300 years ago. Y'all, we're all in here. You know, George Washington was president of the United States. We're living better than he was living. I promise you what, I don't want to trade places with him. You know, I don't want to go back to no electricity and no cars and no indoor plumbing and none of those things. And prosperity has hurt us a whole lot more than persecution ever has. But because we've had nothing but good days and good times, if the slightest inconvenience comes about, the slightest bump in the road, the slightest we don't get our way, we're ready to quit. We're ready to, hey, we'll abandon ship in a heartbeat. You know, I told some of my basketball players the other day, I was a little disappointed in how our season ended. And we didn't really do what I had hoped we would do. And I had a couple kids that weren't very committed, you know. And I sold my soul. I told them I sold my soul to try to win some games, and I probably overlooked some things that I shouldn't have. And I told them the other day, I said, hey, look, what's going to happen in the off season and next year is I'm not going to ask. I'm going to demand. I said, because y'all didn't win anyway. Y'all didn't win a championship. You didn't win a playoff game. And so if you quit, you just quit. But I was so worried about the weak culture that we live in that they'll quit on you in a heartbeat if anything hard happens. But that's how it is in the church. That's how it is in the Christian world today. Any difficulty and people quit at the drop of a hat. Abraham waited years. Imagine that. Years. Years of waiting. Years of the promise not coming through. Years of no child. You know what he did? He continued on by faith, trusting God. Faith must be a persevering faith, that we're going to have faith during the good times and bad. I'm often reminded of the three Hebrew boys that they were about to throw into the fire. And the great statement they said as they went to throw them in the fire, they said, look, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in the fire. They said, God is able to deliver us from your hand. But if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow. Now, that's faith. They said, if he delivers us, great. If he doesn't, if he chooses not to, fine. But our faith is going to remain in God no matter what happens, whether it be good or bad. And so we must persevere through difficulties, waiting for those things, not about instant gratification, not being prisoners of the moment. Another thing faith is it's prophetic, believing in things. You know, I do want you to know that we're all prophets in a way. We speak things into existence. And faith is perspective as well. You know, I know some people that say things like this, nothing good ever happens to me. Well, do you know what happens when you say something like that? Everything that goes wrong, you say, see, I told you. I knew that was going to happen. I knew nothing good was going to happen. And you fulfill self-fulfilling prophecies of your negativity and your pessimism that everything bad is going to happen. You have brought this upon yourself because it's your perspective. However, if you have a different view and you see God's hand in everything, you will see it. And I promise you, as you look at these things with an act of faith that God loves you, that he has your best interest, he's looking, you will see a lot of the hand of God in everything that is going on in your life. We need to be people that have faith, that trust God, that no matter what's going on, God is working it out for our good. The Bible tells us that. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, let me explain that. That don't mean everything is good. Bad things happen. Things you don't like. But he's using it all to work together for your good. Amen. That it, hey, if everything went good, our faith would never grow. If we never had to depend on him, or we never had to trust him, then our faith would never grow. But there will be things that happen. And when it happens, just say this: I know that God is doing something for my good. I don't know what it is. I might not understand it all. How many of y'all in your life can look back on things with the benefit of hindsight and say, I see the hand of God in that now. I see how God used that now. I see what He was trying to teach me now. Don't see it in the moment. You know, you might not understand it all at that time, but you trust God that when something bad happens, you can say, God is doing something for me. And so we need to be people of faith. Look at what it said in verse 20. He staggered not. Well, let's look back up. Not in verse 19. Not being weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it looks impossible. He's 100 years old. Sarah is barren. He could have said, this can't happen. But he said, God is able. And I'm not going to look at the impossibilities. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I'm going to believe God that He said it was going to happen. And I believe that it will. In verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let me stop there and say, as it said, he staggered not. You know, back in verse 19, it said not weak in faith. And in verse 20, he said strong in faith. One of the most misinterpreted scriptures in all the Bible is when they say we need the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. A lot of people interpret that and try to preach that as all we need is a little bit of faith. That's not what we need. We need growing faith. And in another scripture it says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that is planted and is the smallest of seeds, but it grows into a tree that big enough the fowls of the air can light on it. We don't need little faith. Whenever the disciples were lacking faith, he said, O ye of little faith. He didn't applaud them. He didn't say, hey guys, I know you just got a little bit of faith, but that's all you need. Hey, you know, that's all you need. We'll do great things. He said, no. We need more faith than that. And he said, not weak in faith, but strong in faith. And we don't need to be weak in faith either. I just want you to know, weak faith's not going to get a lot done. It has to be strong. And that means sometimes, y'all have heard fake it till you make it. Well, we got to faith it till we make it. We just got to believe or we don't know and we don't see how it's going to work out. We don't understand it, but we're trusting ourselves to the hand of God as Abraham did, being strong in faith, giving God the glory. And he said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What God said he can do, he can do. He can do it in our lives. And God, back to the three Hebrew boys, we know that God can do anything. And we need to believe that. We need to still believe that. But we also need to trust that God knows better than us. And if He chooses not to, He chooses not to. So we trust Him with whatever the outcome might be. And then in verse 22 it says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Back to that salvation aspect of this. His faith was counted for his righteousness. And it's the same way for me and you today. My faith is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ counts it as righteousness. His work on the cross covers my sin. His death, burial, and resurrection. His blood covers my sins. Not my own works, not my own goodness, not any of that. My trust is solely in Him. Every day, I pray and I confess my sins every day. And I always say this. I always say, forgive me of my sins in Jesus' name and by His righteousness. He's my only hope. That's what I say every day. He's my only hope. And I just remind myself of that every day. The forgiveness of God comes through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And He is my only hope. And He's the hope of the world. Amen. Verse 23. It says, now, it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but for us also. Why was it told about Abraham's faith? For us also. Tonight, thousands of years after Abraham lived, thousands of years after his life, and we see him walking by faith, it was given to us to encourage our faith tonight. In 2024, let me say, we need more men and women of faith that don't get knocked off course by every little thing. I think about when John the Baptist was in prison and he started doubting whether Jesus was the guy. And he sent word to him and said, "Are you he or should we seek another?" And Jesus sent back word to John the Baptist, but he said, "What did y'all go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind? I don't think so." In other words, let's strengthen up our faith. We don't need to be a reed shaking in the wind. We don't need to let, oh, a calamity happen. Oh, this happened. Nothing deters us from our faith in God. Come what may, no matter what happens, we know Him and we trust Him and we believe in Him. And this is for us today. He said this in verse 24. He said, "If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." That's the gospel in a nutshell there in those two verses. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses. He went to the cross and died for our sins. Every bad deed we've ever done, every impure motive, every bad thought, every lie we've ever told, whatever it might be, Jesus Christ became that on the cross, and He was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised again for our justification. We are justified tonight by our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Not of any works of righteousness which we do. And I'm thankful for this. I think some people get it confused. There's some that want to mingle things together. By the way, that's what the Pharisees tried to do. They tried to, and some people, even after Jesus was gone, they wanted to try to mingle some things together. But they can't be. We're not saved by faith and then kept by works. That's what some people think. Well, I got saved by faith. I trust in Christ, but now I got to be good and keep it. No, you're trying to mingle two things together. Don't go together. We're saved by faith. We're kept by faith. And it's all of faith. It's all spiritual and it's all based on Jesus Christ, our Lord. So tonight as we leave, let's be people of faith. Let's be people of faith. Let's trust the Word of God. Let's believe it for what it says. Let's believe God as the God that He is that can do impossible things. Let's don't be reeds shaking in the wind and people that, man, every time some little bad things happen, we want to abandon ship and quit. We must stay the course no matter what happens. No matter what comes our way, good news or bad news, harvest or drought, good days or bad, we trust God through all of it and we believe God for great things. Amen. Be men and women of faith that will go on and not be shaken. Sometimes I have to remind myself